Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our new series of studies, The Varied Ministry of the Spirit of God. And we are studying in the 8th chapter of Paul's Epistle to the Romans, that great chapter that contains the ministry of the Spirit as nowhere else in the Bible. The Spirit of God is mentioned 19 times in this chapter. And he is brought before us, he brings himself before us, because he's the author of the Scriptures, in so many different ways. Now, what we see in the book of Romans is just simply touching, introducing the subject, and it's developed elsewhere in the Scriptures. But we get the subject matter as originating in this great chapter of the Spirit. And we're considering the subjects as subjects. On our last broadcast, the Spirit as our helper, today with the help of the Lord, the Spirit as our indweller, and then following the broadcast today, the Spirit as our leader, as our communicator, as our intercessor, and as our translator. Now, in the matter of the Spirit of God indwelling us, that is introduced in verse 9. We would have to look carefully to realize that it's there, but it is there, and we want to consider it. Chapter 8 and verse 9. We read there, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." In other words, if you're saved. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. But if the Spirit of God dwell in you, then we know that these things apply. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you," notice the preposition there, "in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Now, here we have that great subject introduced by the Apostle Paul to the Romans. And now we're going to talk about the fact that it was originally mentioned by our Lord himself in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, on the eve of his crucifixion, he knows the impact of his departure upon his disciples. He fully anticipates that. After all, he's God. And he, at that last supper, when they were gathered together for supper, he tells them, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," capital C. And that is the Spirit of God, of course, as it will develop. "Even he, that ye may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth," capital S, "whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Now here is the first intimation in the Scripture that the Spirit of God would ever dwell within the body of a Christian person, or in the body of a saint of God. But here it is, and the Lord introduces the subject. Now Paul writes to the Romans, and he, as we just read, and hints to that fact. It's not a great bold development of the truth, but he just mentions it as a matter-of-fact way. I'll read the verse again. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, because the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Now here we have this introduced to the Romans. Now let's see what he says to the Corinthians about this same subject. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, we read these words, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" He's taken up his residence there. He dwells there. Don't you know that? He's guarding them against that immorality that was characteristic of the Corinthian church. Well, the whole nation of Greece at that time. They were Corinthians. They were Grecians. And here he tells them, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" You know, God dwells in temples. Anything that is dignified enough to be a dwelling of God is called a temple. And he says, you're a temple. Your body is a temple. You know, we should be careful what goes into that body, shouldn't we? I wonder sometimes, does the Spirit have to cough? Well, here he is. And that Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And then he says further, in the 6th chapter in verses 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're bought with a price. We mentioned on our last broadcast. That price was the blood of Christ. We were sinners just like everybody else that dwells in this world. And the spirit of sin is still in us. The nature of sin is still in us. But we were sinners, lost, undone, strangers from the covenants of promise, no hope. And the Spirit of God dealt with us. He showed us our sin. We saw that Christ was on the cross, dying for our sin, that we might indeed accept Him as our Savior, be thankful to Him, love Him in return because of His love to us. And here He is now. Here he is now, indwelling the person who has trusted him and who is saved by the precious blood. Now, this is all the work of the Spirit. He brought us to Christ in the first place. And then when we trusted and the life of Christ was placed within us, he himself dwells within us. Isn't that a marvelous truth? Now, let's go on to the Ephesian epistle, chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. As Paul writes to the Ephesians. Here are the verses we read in verse 13 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, whom ye all trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed, if you please. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now the reason the Spirit of God himself is that seal. The Spirit of God is that seal within you and me, and he dwells within us. He is the guarantee. An earnest payment guarantees that the other payments will follow. It's a promise. And the fact that the Spirit of God indwells us is really an expression of the fact that God says, this property is mine. And what is the down payment? The Spirit of God, and the rest is going to come. He dwells here as the Spirit. Well, then it has to be in us to be that earnest. And then we read also that this is taught in chapter 3, before we get to that, chapter 2, verse 22. We read there, verses 21 and 22, in whom all the building, fitly, framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. Here we have the temple again. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are the habitation of God. The Spirit dwells there, both collectively and individually. Now let's talk about it. Also, I think we should read the third chapter, verse 16, because it bears out this truth. Paul prays that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, he's there. And he's there to give us the strength, as we said on our last broadcast. The Christian has helped to live the Christian life. The Spirit of God is our strength. He is the strength of the Christian life. We can take no credit at all for going on for God. The only credit we can take is for simply yielding to the Spirit of God as he dwells within you and me. All right, let's talk about our experience. This is as experienced by the Christian. Now we read that he's in us collectively. We already read that, and individually. We read chapter 5 and verse 18, a very, very strong exhortation on the part of the Apostle Paul. Here it is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, how can I be filled with the Spirit when the Spirit is sovereign? Can't He take possession? Well, strangely enough, this admonition is given to you and me. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's a command. How can we be filled with the Spirit? Well, I'll tell you how we can. The Spirit is indwelling us. And we are to give Him room. We're not to crowd Him out with non-essentials, with the things of this life that don't count, with the pleasures and the joys of this world, with the fulfillment of our own ambitions. We're not to crowd the Spirit into a place of inactivity. Why? Because He's dwelling within us. And we are to be filled with Him. We're to give Him room. We're to give Him His way in our lives so that He can occupy us with Christ. And that really is His ministry. Well, one of His ministries. Many ministries of the Spirit of God as He indwells us. But we're just developing the subject today. He is there as a resident. All right? He fills our hearts with Christ. And we read in the Scriptures in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 15. Listen, these are further thoughts of the Lord on that eve of His crucifixion given to His disciples. I have many things yet to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. That was before the cross. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. Now the Spirit of God teaches us about our Lord Jesus Christ and His ministry to you and to me. And it's the duty of the Spirit, it's the work of the Spirit to develop Christ in you and in me. In Romans 8 and 29 we read, "For whom He did foreknow," that is God, the Father, "He did also to be predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son." And the Spirit of God is doing that conforming right now. We see this truth from 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. The very same truth. I'm going to read it. "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." He has a wonderful ministry. Why? Because He's indwelling us. He's next to us. Let's give Him place in our lives. Our Father, today we thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus for the ministry of the Spirit of God. In His name, amen.